Well, we all know, probably, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Right? And I think it's pertinent for us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then here's the thought. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what?
The renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind. That you might be able to prove what is acceptable and perfect will of God. So just that challenge, and we're going to move on, but just that challenge for us, that it's by the renewing of our minds. Because we have to admit, this week we've looked at the fact that the world is trying to squeeze us into its mold. Mm-hmm. Mark's mentioned that, Steve's mentioned that, I think Sam's mentioned it, by the media and by everything that is bombarded at us daily. I mean, we can't even go to the grocery store without being bombarded as we're checking out of the world's philosophies, right? And so we need to go home. And one brother said to me, he was at the store. And as he was at the store, he was just buying something. And he says, I just went in there for one item. And by the time I got through the checkout, I was so dirty. He said, I had to go home and take a bath in the Word of God. It's the renewing of God's Word. It renews our mind. It helps align us with the mindset of God instead of the mindset of this world. And that's why it's so important that principle number two is learning God's Word.
And actually, as we speak about the Word of God, one of the metaphors the Word of God uses to illustrate what it is just water. In order to make clear this thought, we need to be under its purifying power. It has really on us. And how much do we need it to be purified by the Word of God? Now, we have underlined now the importance of knowing the Word and expose ourselves to the Word of God so that we are purified, and also to live in fellowship with the Lord. That has also been mentioned before. Now, I would like just to bring to your attention one example of the Old Testament of a person who has been truly an overcomer. And he has been mentioned already before. That's Abraham. And I refer to Genesis 13, the end, and 14. You see, there's one verse at the end of chapter 13 of Genesis. Abraham moved his tents and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And he built there an altar to Jehovah. Some of you might know that the translation, or the meaning, I should say, of Hebron is fellowship. There he dwelt, and he lived really in communion with his God. He had an altar in order to, have fellowship with his God. And that made him ready to overcome. And you see, chapter 14 then speaks of war which took place. And we indeed face a world sometimes in that character. The difficult side, we have spoken about the disciples were scattered and there was opposition. Yes, when the world comes from that side, we should be overcomers, and Abraham was an overcomer. But then, at the end of the chapter, you see the world sometimes approaches us in a much more subtle character. That's the king of Sodom. And he offers things to Abraham. And he says, take all this. And how dangerous a world is in that character just for us. It offers to us things, even if you go to the grocery store. You don't want to see all these dirty things, but you are confronted with them. And how easily that is a trap for us. And we see that Abraham was an overcomer. He won against Chedorlaomer and the other kings. But he was also an overcomer when the king of Sodom came up. And may the Lord help us also that we overcome when the world is coming to bring opposition, but also when it offers some pleasant things to us.
And just to link that with what we were saying, that in Romans 12, an interlinear translation that I look at gives the meaning of the conformed word as do not conform yourselves to this age, to this world. And I find that to be telling also because not only is the world saying to us and pressuring us, do it this way, but there are so many common things around us that it's very easy for us to conform ourselves. We fit in because that's the mold that's around. That's the schematic. That's the source of that word. It's the schematic that's around us. Mm-hmm. And so we fit into the schematic. We fit into the diagram that the world says, here's what makes sense. And so we fit into that. But then be transformed, that's something external is transforming us. And I was thinking in the case of Abraham, it seems that part of the means by which he was able to overcome that tempting offer was that he had just met the king, had met Melchizedek, right? And Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And then when Abraham had this offer, he said, no, I have lifted up my hand to the Most High God. And this is something new for Abraham to say. He had not used that name of God in that way before he met Melchizedek. And so meeting Melchizedek, we could say, link it with what we said in the very beginning, knowing the Lord Jesus is what then transforms our minds, transforms our thinking, so that we think properly about the things that the world would offer to us.
Could I just...
Go ahead, and then Sam, and then we need to move on.
1 Peter 3:15, the verse that we read, sanctifying the Lord in our hearts, and then being able to give an answer. I had two characters in the Old Testament that had exhibited this. Joseph and Daniel. How were they able to give an answer of peace? How was Joseph able to give an answer of peace to Pharaoh? Is because he had the moral strength before that. He sanctified the Lord in his heart. Daniel, same thing. He was offered the delicacies of the king's meat, and he was in a good conscience able to stand against that. And therefore, as a result of the relationship that he had with his Lord, the Lord was delighted to give him a revelation of the dream that the king had. And Babylon and Egypt of the time is like America of today and Hollywood of today, and the bombardment that they were under is not any less than what we're under. They were able to stand against it because of their commitment to the Lord. We started off sanctifying the Lord in your heart, and that is the beginning of all things. And that has to be maintained. It is faith that overcomes the world. And those are two systems that are against each other. Faith is much harder to live because it is not seen. So it is a struggle, but it is rewarded.
The one thought that I've had just sitting here relates in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, where the Lord Jesus speaks. And the sense I get there is that, let me just read it from verse 14. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and so forth. The point was here, in my mind, is that when we get saved, the Lord Jesus isn't taking us out of the world immediately, physically. We are left here for a purpose, and we are to glorify him. And obviously, he is our resource at the right hand of God. He is maintaining us and sustaining us. But down here, he's given us his word. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So it comes back to the word. This comes back to the word of God. But we have our high priest at the right hand of God who is sustaining us.
I'd like us to look again at 1 Peter. I'd like to go on. We've looked at the lordship. We've looked at the principle of learning. We need to learn God's word. And we saw the importance of that in overcoming. And then I'd like for you to look again at the verse. Is there something else there? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. look at it again, and let's just see if there's another thought, another principle in which we can glean that's opposite of this world.